I've started a new series called What Should Christians Wear? Now, I know some of you may have come panicking because we're going to talk about different things and it's been a controversial topic and how you should come dressed at church. The truth is, I actually want to deal with what we're told about the armor of God. Though there is one thing I believe a Christian shouldn't wear, and that is a Chelsea shirt. The only time that should be happening is when you're painting or gardening something. We see through Ephesians, and that's going to be our text tonight, Ephesians chapter 6, going to verse 10. We're going to pick it up from verse 10. We see this instruction that there's an awareness of a spiritual battle that is going on. Paul is chained to guards, probably having a look and having enough time to analyze their armor, but also probably looking back in Isaiah and the prophecies of what Christ and who Christ is, and the reminder of both, just seeing this, and is telling the church to be prepared, to dress up. And this is what we are to be dressed in. This is what he's given us, that instruction. Now, nowadays, we have very strange fashion designs. We have what I call the plumber pants. Have you seen that? Have you seen how some of the strange things that we pick up as fashion? And when you get old enough and you start looking back on photos, you're going, what am I wearing? Have you noticed the generation, you know that you're old enough and got into a certain age when the very things that you wore as a teenager have come back into fashion? Okay, if I could still fit in them, I would wear them. All right? And you start to see this going around. And we so worry about what we should wear. Have you ever stood before a cupboard and said, I have nothing to wear, and the cupboard is jam-packed? Okay. It was on that date I heard about that. When that very important occasion where you had to dress up and you looked at this and you were like, I can't, what should I wear? And you spend forever trying to do this. And Paul's saying, as Christians, we need to be wearing the armor of God. We need to be dressed up always, prepared for what is going on. So let's read our text, Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, and I'm reading from the NIV tonight. Finally, be strong in the Lord with his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil and in the evil realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, that you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, keep on praying, for all the Lord's people. This is what Paul's instructed. He finishes his letter off with this very image of putting on the armor of God. Something key, we see that it is the armor of God we're told to be placing on. It is not something we're to find. It's not something to run to develop. It's something that we need to clothe ourselves in. It's from him. It's his. He talks about the spiritual warfare, and he talks about here the days are evil. And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, it says this, be careful then how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. He keeps on alluding to this. What does he mean by this? Well, we need to be prepared because the days are evil. One simply needs to read News 24. On a daily basis, to realize we live in the evil times. We see some of the things that are taking place and just blows my mind, my heart breaks, because we live in a world that is corrupted, a world that is struggling, a world that is living in darkness. And we to be prepared for this, we to be clothed because of this in the armor of God. We also to be prepared for the trials and temptations. That we are to face some of these trials. In fact, it says here that we are called to take our stand. It's talking here in reference not of a massive attack, but of an individual attack that a soldier needs to be ready to stand their ground. We're going to experience trials and temptations in our faith. When we stand out for God and say, God, use me. God, I want to do incredible things for you. God, I want to see your kingdom come. God, I want to see your glory. You will experience trials and temptations. They are to come your way, and we are to be clothed to protect ourselves from this. We also to be clothed on spiritual attacks. When I was on our team, a ministry team that traveled the country, we used to have a saying, there were three areas that often we would experience attack. When you're standing up for God and you're seeing God at work, so often there were a number of things that were taken. One was equipment. Anyone that does sound and media in this church can tell you all about that. Anyone who works with Microsoft can tell you all about that. How it so often doesn't work and the key moments. And the equipment was just attacked. We saw in health, so often a team, we would see team members that were sick. We had one of our guys that was he struggled with his health throughout the team in that ministry year. And we saw attack in unity. Attacking in unity of a church. Have you not seen that in church? In churches where unity has come and there's this attack that comes about. It comes in outside influences, in family, and what else goes on, in finances. So we're to be prepared for the spiritual attack. We are prepared to be for the trials and the temptations that are going to come away. And we are to be prepared because the days are evil that we're living in. So we are to put on the full armor of God. Notice that, verse 11, put on the armor of God. Here's an instruction from a general. It is as if a soldier would get to this basis and say, put on this armor, get ready, get dressed. Now's the time. This is the command. This is the urgency that's coming expressed in here. It's to clothe yourself as a Christian. It's not to wait for another time or wait for the occasion. It's to do it now. That's what we're called to do. And we are called to put on the full armor of God. So we can't turn around and say, I don't like this part. This doesn't suit me. This is not my color. Even though it's salmon and not pink. Okay? We can't say that. We're commanded here to place the full armor of God. So why? So that we can take our stand as we go. So throughout the next 2 weeks, three weeks, including tonight, we're going to look at the different parts of this armor of God and what does it really mean to us. And this afternoon, I was changing a little bit of the focus and I actually swapped one of the ones around. I was trying to leave the belts of truth for another night, but I realized that it hinged so importantly as the start of this. So firstly, we're going to be looking at the belt of truth, and secondly, we're going to be looking at the breastplate of righteousness, that we pick it up. So verse 14 says, then stand firm then with the belt of truth that is buckled around your waist. Now, I brought some of my toys here. I don't have enough of these toys for the whole series. But when I was doing duty, this used to be my belt that I went on. It's a tactical belt, so it's got two belts in that. Because our police force need two belts nowadays, you know. The real reason for it is that it was to keep your equipment in place itself. So you would have an inner belt that would go in between the loops. And if you were in a tussle at all, it was very difficult to actually grab your component. The suspect wouldn't be able to grab your belt easily. Because it would be so firm. So this inner part was used for that. And you'll see it's in complete Velcro around. And then you would see an outer belt that would go around that very belt. And this was used not just to keep up your pants. Okay, very importantly. It's the police, not the plumber, okay? And so what happens is it would wrap around and you would find that various equipment would be kept on this, all right? If you didn't have the belt to hold up things, where would you simply place it? Okay, try in pockets. It needed to hold things in a place where there would be readiness. If I needed this. So the belt that Paul would be writing about would not just be a belt about holding up a pants, okay, which is important. Okay. In fact, this belt would be used and placed on first. Okay. It would be the first thing that the soldier would get themselves ready with, was to place this. It was a big belt. It wasn't just a fancy little small belt. It was a belt that brought protection. It was a belt that they could take some of their garments and also tuck it into to be able to run quicker so there was nothing that would hinder them. It would be a belt that would carry a sleeve to put the sword. And later on, we're told the sword is God's word. It was to be ready, to be able to be used, to be able to grab, just as you would see, I would have a firearm on this side, ready to be able to be used and prepared. The equipment that needed to be there. So this belt would hold on to so many things. And so Paul's writing about this, and he's talking about this belt that provides the support. Okay, this belt of truth that's going to have support there, a belt that would be used in this would be able to protect the kidneys, it would also protect the thighs, it would go a little bit bigger, quite a bigger belt that would there. And a lot of the equipment would be used to be held up by this very belt, including the breastplate, would be tied into this, and we'll deal with that just now. So it held the equipment, it covered the loins, it pulled up the clothing when it needed to be ready. It was that support that came through. And this is the belt he's talking about. Now in Isaiah 11, verses 4 and 5, it says this, "But with righteousness he will judge the needy," and it's talking about Christ, prophecy of Christ. "With justice he will give the decisions of for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the slash around his waist." The word here, faithfulness, is also can be used as translated with truthfulness. I find with what you are saying to be faithful because it is true. This is what it's saying. And so we have this belt of truth around here. Now, this was so key in what Isaiah is saying because Adam fell for the devil's schemes. The devil is a deceiver. And so he brings in this deception. Did God really say? And he starts to put doubt and sows doubts and seeds of doubt in the truth in what God had spoken. And Adam fell for those lies. He fell into sin. And we see Christ here who's buckled himself with righteousness and faithfulness around his waist, who is holy, who did not give in to temptation, holds on the second Adam. He is faithful, and through him we have our salvation. And so when it talks about this belt that he's talking about, what is this truth, this belt of truth? Well, it is Christ himself. It is truth that Christ is truth. In fact, John 14 verse 6 says this, and Jesus is answering, and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So that belt of truth is the knowledge of who Christ is. It's Christ himself. We're clothed with the armor of God. He is truth. Now, as you go into school and as you go into university, that truth is going to be continuously attacked. So who do you say Christ is? Because when we uphold him as truth, everything hinges on that. We buckle it. We secure it. We firm it. We use it to support and carry everything. It is Christ. And he is the truth and the life. How incredible is that? is that we can know him, a God who is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, as tomorrow. The very God who made himself nothing, taking on the form of a child, of a servant, dying on the cross for us and defeating death by rising from the dead, being our sacrifice. He is the truth. Secondly, the truth is also the word of God. John 17, verse 17 says this: sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. We've got to cling to the scriptures as Christians. We've got to hold to it. It's got to hold everything we do. We support, hold them onto it. We secure everything by that, by his word. That's got to be truth. I want to encourage you, as believers, we need to be in the scriptures. And we need to not just be in the scriptures, we need to wrestle with the scriptures. Because the more I wrestle in God's word, the more I discover about him, about his word. Spend time in the truth. As you get attacked at schools, as your faith is brought to question, cling to his word. Let it buckle around you. We're told to wrap it around our waist. It's to be around us. It's to be holding up all that we have. That is the truth. And the truth has also got to be in the way we speak and we live. As Christians, when we put on the armor of God, our very lives need to reflect that truth. So in our conversations, in the things we say, are they truthful? Are we living by God's word as the truth? Are we clinging to that? Are you known at school and work as a person of their word? As a person that is known to speak the truth, because that's what we are to display as Christians. Are we a person that loves to live by the truth? What is scary for me is there's so many churches today that have decided that this belt of truth is more of a design kind of feature. And it's really doesn't have any impact whatsoever. Have you seen those belts that are fashionable but have no purpose? Don't hold up anything. I've got a confession. I put a suit on and I said to Sarah, when I bought the suit, I married your sister. And she, not married her, as a pastor married her sister. Let's clear that up. And I said, bought that. And that was, Sarah and I have been married a number of years and they now are celebrating their seventh wedding anniversary soon. And I realized this suit is 7 years older. And I am married life with kids. Things have changed. And we had a wedding to go to yesterday. And she said, I needed to wear my suit. And so I pulled it out, dusted it out. And meant all those truffant ties. And as I put this thing on, I said, I really hope it fits. And it was that squeeze of trying to put the belts, and you know, the buttons through and holding in and stomach in, chest out kind of thing. And I put my belt on, which is to my size that I am, and my belt had absolute no purpose whatsoever. It just swung around because I was pulling my stomach in so much. We've got churches today that are using the belt of truth just as a fashion item, not clinging to it as truth, not letting things be held up by it. And what's scary sometimes as Christians, we do the same. We wear the belt rather over our shoulders and say, God, I don't want to hold to some parts of your word. Jesus, I want to believe a little bit of who you are. And we use it with no purpose. Who do you say Christ is? He says he is the way, the truth, and the life. What is God's word to you? Do you hold it as truth? And is your very life impacted because you hold it as truth? Or are you simply just wearing it as a fashion statement? Something we just say. What's it holding up for you? That's the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness, the verse goes on and says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Focus on the word in place. Now, again, like I said, I brought some toys around. And I brought this along. This is a bulletproof vest. And its purpose is slowing you down when you run. All right. If anyone wants to look for an invention, please, some aircon that can go in here or a pipe. In fact, I saw an American policeman that had designed something in his cruiser with a pipe that would blow in the back of his bulletproof vest. But this was designed here many, many years old. They're supposed to be replaced every 5 years. Play for our South African police because this one's 12 years old already. And a lot of the guys are wearing old ones. But you will see this with Kevlar. That would be protecting certain kind of caliber firearms, and it would protect you from knives. And then you would have this heavy, heavy tiles that are in your ceramic plates that were to protect you from certain other calibers that would be there. And this was to wrap around your body, okay? And very key because it covered and protected your vital organs, okay? It was to protect your heart. It was to protect your intestines, your lungs, all the key things that was here. And it's designed for that purpose. And it was to be wrapped. Now, if I wore this incorrectly, so if I decided that this thing is so uncomfortable, because it is, and started just strapping it slightly higher and letting the thing lower, it has no purpose. It doesn't cover the right things. And so he uses the words to have this breastplate of righteousness in place, the right place, the right fitting on this. Now the Roman soldiers would wear, in this time when Christ came, they would wear for decorative purposes, ceremonial purposes, they would wear a breastplate that would be shaped, molded, make them look like they had six-packs, metal kind of basis. But they no longer during this time used that in the battles because what they found is if a guy fell over, they basically stayed on their back like a tortoise, okay? And so what they would do is in this time they would use metal little scales that would cover there, and it was then also then tied to the belt, tied to the truth that was in here. And so it would protect them from behind. It would still protect their vitals in the battle that needed. And we're told here in Isaiah, back in Isaiah 59, verse 17, again, talking about Christ, he will put on the righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He'll put the garment of vengeance and wrap himself in the zeal as in his cloak. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6 to 8. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who are asleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, so because we belong to Christ, because we belong to him, let us be sober, putting on the faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as the helmet. We need to protect our vitals. And protect the heart. This is to be worn all the time. If I went onto police duty and went onto the road, you never knew what you were going to experience. You never knew what call out would happen. It was to be worn all the time. And I've heard of so many policemen who decided today is not the day that I want to wear this. It's 37 degrees and this thing is hot. And take it off and the wrong timing. And so it is something that the breastplate of righteousness is something that we have to have in place all the time here. So what is this righteousness he talks about? Well, I believe there's two forms of this righteousness that he's talking about. Firstly, it's the justification. See, no one is righteous. Our righteousness comes through Christ. We cannot buy our salvation. It's not in the deeds we do. It's not in the things we do. It comes simply through a faith in him dying on the cross. And when we have that, that justification means in our standing before God, he sees us as pure, holy, as righteous because of his son. This is so key to clothe ourselves in this because what does the devil do? Very good in distracting and reminding you of our past, reminding us sometimes of our present and of our future. His attacks are there. How can you be a Christian? You are like this kind of person. How could you be a Christian? You're an Arsenal supporter. Yeah? How could you be a Christian? You lied about this. How can you be a Christian? You did this. You said this. What if they knew? Have you ever experienced that? Experienced those attacks? How can you be like this? And so we need to be reminded by praying the breastplate of righteousness is that we have justification, that the fact that faith through Christ, He has made us righteous before God. Holiness. It does not matter what you've done. Christ has washed that past. And as He tries to attack you from the back about your past, you are protected by the shield, by this breastplate. You are protected because we have righteousness in Christ. Know that. That needs to become in our very hearts and our very essence. We need to be reminded daily of that. You are found righteous. But it is also a righteousness that's dealing with sanctification. It's the fact that God, who began the good work in you, is going to bring it to completion. He's going to bring something out. He's going to show that display before man, His very image, making us in the form of His Son, shaping our image to display His glory. And so as we clothe ourselves, it is also an outward experience, an outward thing that others are to see. Now, I know that before Christ, I stand righteous because of Christ, because of what He's done. But I don't always often act like it. There's things that I do wrong, and there's things I mess up in. But as I journey, and as I've encouraged, and I was talking on Friday night about journaling, the so importance of journaling as Christians to look and see. And as you look back in some of those journals, I look back and I go, sure, you were like that. I feel sorry for my youth pastor, who went bald before I did, I think because of me. And I had that doubt, and I had this, and I've seen how God, who does the good work in you, Philippians, brings it to completion as He starts to sanctify us. We start to display this breastplate of righteousness more. Lastly, on the breastplate of righteousness, I want to deal with this. It's the fact that it protected the heart, protected the bowels. And in fact, the Jews would consider the bowels here as the very heart, the very soul. Okay, it was when they talked about emotions, it wasn't this heart surface level. It was a deep down emotion. And this breastplate protected that. So as Christians, when we put on that breastplate of righteousness, we are reminded that we stand righteous before God because of our faith in Christ. But we also reminded that God, and through His Holy Spirit, is involved in working in our lives. And so when we do that, we surrender our emotions to Him. We surrender our priorities. We surrender our attitudes. We surrender our actions. We surrender all of these things, saying, God, I want to live for You, that very essence of who I am. I want to be clothed in seeking Your glory so that others may know Your righteousness and experience that. Are we placing that breastplate in the right place? Are you just trying to cover a little bit of it? Just cover a basis, or at your place saying, God, because of my faith in You, because of what You've done, I want to display You. I want to live for You. And so I surrender my very heart. I surrender my very actions, my thoughts, my priorities, my focus. Lord, I want to live for You in this. Giving our heart fully to Him. The controversial topic that goes about, and there's a teaching that says that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The truth is that our salvation, we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The wrong question here is, Does the Holy Spirit have more of us? Are we surrendered to Him, saying, Lord, work in me. Help me to display that very righteousness. So where's your belt at the moment? And how are you wearing your breastplate? Because God has told you to armor up. Get dressed up with His armor. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You that we can come to know You. And we realize that we are not part of this world. We are different. We are aliens in this world. Because we're called to shine out. We're called to be people of the day that shines Your light in this. And we realize that there is attacks that happen. And so many times when we want to compromise, we want to give in. But I pray that You would help us to uphold Your truth, to cling on to You as truth, to let it be around us, upholding all things, clinging on to a knowledge of You. And may You protect our hearts, our very emotions, our very character, that it be one that displays You. So we pray this in Your precious name. Amen.